One winter morning in Brooklyn, the internet stopped working. A technician traced the problem from the living room through cables to the backyard, where he looked up and spotted the culprit, a squirrel, scampering along a wire toward a gray box on a telephone pole. This tiny creature had managed to sever the connection to what we call the cloud, that supposedly ethereal, everywhere and nowhere network we rely on every day. But here's what that moment revealed. The internet isn't floating in some digital ether. It's made of actual stuff, wires, boxes, buildings, and it exists in very specific places. This simple breakdown sparked a 2-year journey across continents to answer a deceptively simple question. What is the internet, physically? The answer turns out to be far stranger and more fascinating than most of us imagine. In Milwaukee, cartographer Marcus Crisitea created a physical map of the internet's undersea cables, rigid red and yellow lines striping across oceans, each representing cables mere inches wide but thousands of miles long. The irony was striking, this digital network rendered as an old-fashioned paper map. But it revealed something crucial. The internet has geography. It exists in three dimensions. The logical, how data travels, the physical, the machines and wires, and the geographical, the real places those machines occupy. In a basement of a 1901 Milwaukee building, network engineer John R. demonstrated this reality with tangled steel conduits and fiber optic cables. Upstairs sat his piece of the internet, two steel racks with a black Cisco router and two yellow cables, one to Cogent, another to Time Warner as backup. For his customers, this simple fork was their connection to everything. The internet has no single inventor, but it does have a first physical box. On Labor Day weekend 1969, graduate students gathered at UCLA with champagne to welcome the first interface message processor, a 900-pound, $80,000 modified Honeywell computer that became the internet's first node. Decades later, Professor Leonard Kleinrock showed off IMP number 1, now sitting in a small conference room, pulling out the original logbook recording the first successful connection to Stanford on October 29, 1969. Talked to SRI host to host, the internet's first breath. The watershed moment came on New Year's Day 1983, when networks switched to TCP/IP, permanently establishing the internet's distributed structure. By 1993, commercial internet providers needed to exchange data but couldn't use government backbones. Over lunch in Virginia, Sprint, PSI, and UNET leaders agreed to connect through a hub creating May East in Tyson's Corner, which soon handled half of all global internet traffic. A better model emerged in 1996 when Jay Adelson and Brian Reed created the Palo Alto Internet Exchange with a revolutionary idea. Networks should connect directly to each other rather than through a central switch. Walking through the facility reveals the physical internet, hundreds of cages filled with routers, thick cable bundles suspended like waterfalls, and over 10,000 cross connections. Each fiber optic cable carries 10 gigabits per second, enough to transmit 10,000 family photos every second. The building hosts networks from Microsoft and Google to telecoms from Singapore to Qatar. These connections are both physical and social, often arranged through personal relationships between network engineers. When Equinix raised $12.5 million for telecom hotels, they chose Ashburn, Virginia farmland, transforming it into Data Center Alley, now handling over 70% of the world's internet traffic. The unmarked facility's interior feels like stepping into a machine, cold to offset equipment heat, deafeningly loud from cooling fans. Blue spotlights illuminate mesh cages with handprint scanners. Above, a complex layered ceiling resembles an archaeological record. Yellow fiber optic cables, copper whalebone racks, power systems, and the critical inner duct carrying massive fiber bundles from major carriers. After visiting, the author described it to his 8-year-old niece as the internet. Unlike skeptical adults who struggle to grasp the internet's physical reality, she accepted this naturally. Having never known a world without the internet, the idea that it exists as something tangible made perfect sense. This generational difference reveals how our perception of technology evolves. What seems abstract to one generation is concrete to the next. Underwater telecommunications cables form the backbone of our global internet. When South Africa connected to the Seacom cable in 2009, one university's network jumped from 250 megabits to 10 gigabits at the same price, a 40-fold increase. In a New Jersey office park, Tata Communications manages 40,000 miles of fiber optic cable spanning three continents, creating a belt around the world, a beam of light encircling the planet from the U.S. to Japan to Singapore to India, through Suez to Europe and back across the Atlantic. For 150 years, the Cornish Cove of Porthcurno has been a crucial cable landing spot. Walking through this rural village reveals the physical internet, manholes labeled ductile, humming equipment compounds behind wooden fences, giant rhubarb plants thriving above the cables. During a Skype call with his wife in New York, the author ran a tracer route and discovered their conversation was passing directly beneath his bed and breakfast, collapsing the distance between abstract and tangible. The Dalles, Oregon, sits where the Columbia River narrows through the Cascade Range. What we call the cloud consumes 2% of global electricity, growing 12% annually. A large data center can occupy 500,000 square feet and demand 50 megawatts, enough to power a small city. In the late 1990s, the Bonneville Power Administration strung fiber optic cables along transmission lines, creating excess capacity they leased to developers. When Google arrived in 2004 under the suspicious name Design LLC, their secretive campus resembled a prison, marked by a sign reading Voldemort Industries. Facebook's Primeville facility took a different approach, long and low like a temple. Inside, data center manager Ken Patchett led tours through massive halls where thousands of servers lined up in neat rows, each with fluttering blue lights. "This is the cloud," Patchett declared. "If you blew the cloud away, you know what would be there? This. The cloud is a building. It works like a factory." That frank admission captures something essential. The virtual rests on the physical, always. After journeying across the physical internet, using a laptop normally again felt strange. Despite claims that broadband makes location arbitrary, we're not merely connected but rooted. Every connection begins somewhere specific. A cable from an apartment joining others in a street enclosure. Fiber optics leading to local buildings, then exchange points and data centers. A traceable path from here to everywhere. The internet isn't a physical world or virtual world, but a human world. Its infrastructure has many centers, but from a certain vantage point, there's only one. You, me, wherever I am and wherever you are. The next time you send an email or stream a video, remember, somewhere in a specific building on a particular street, machines are humming and cables are glowing to make that happen. The internet isn't magic. It's engineering, geography, and human ingenuity woven together. That makes it far more remarkable than any cloud metaphor ever could.